So much for having us tonight. It is obvious that you are excited about this church plant, even though I've never met most of you in here before. It's very obvious. It comes through the singing, and it's obvious by the men who are standing up here on the platform this evening. And it makes it very easy to preach in a place like this where people are excited.
Yes, sir,
and so I appreciate that. I appreciate the man who is on the instrument over here, the man who is singing. And I could tell that they're very excited about doing those things, and it's important for men to take the lead and to show excitement in the things of God outside of the arena.
Yeah.
Any sporting arena and the games and things that go on, men have no difficulties getting excited. But when it comes to singing, we want to sing just mighty and low.
Yeah, I know.
It's not here. I appreciate that. It's exciting. I enjoyed the singing tonight and look forward to preaching one of my mother's messages. Oh, boy. Well, we are the Myers family, and we have some prayer cards in the back on the table on the right-hand side of the auditorium from the pastor's perspective. I'd appreciate if you take one and pray. We'll talk a little bit about prayer this evening, but prayer is very important. It's very important, and I really covet your prayers for us as a church getting started. A young pastor, and our family. I want to do things the Lord's way.
Yes.
I want to be a blessing to Him.
Amen.
And serve Him until I take my last breath. So
Amen.
We covered your prayers. What we're doing is, what we have done now, actually, yesterday, the entire city of Medina, Lafayette Township, and Litchfield Township received the copies of the book of John and the book of Romans
Great.
In their mail today, or yesterday, for the Sunday paper today. I don't know who paid for them, but somebody wanted to be used of the Lord and paid for 20,000 copies.
Amen.
So we yes. Inside the John and Romans, we put in 20,000 invitations to come check out Bethel Baptist Church in Medina, Ohio. I needed to be clear on that, but in Medina, Ohio.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
And so those three areas have just been hit with the gospel, and on the back of that insert is God's plan of salvation. It's important that for me that we get in there and we take the Lord's work very seriously, and everybody that lives within Medina has no excuse. And, for good or worse, they know who we are now.
Right.
And what our purpose is to honor and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so I'm very grateful for whoever purchased the John and Romans, and a church in West Virginia collated and put those together. I've never met those people either, but they desire to be used of the Lord for this church plant.
Yeah.
And I called that pastor and said, "Thank you, brother. I've never met you, but it's a blessing to know that you wanted to be a part of this church plant as well, and it's exciting. It really is. Yesterday, we began hitting Medina again. We're taking this evangelism very seriously, and we had door hangers made up. A man that is helping us, we have five families, including mine, that are going with us for this church plant, 26 people, which is a huge blessing. Yes, sir. And so we began hanging these, and we're going to hit every single home in Medina City with a door hanger. Every Saturday, we have three more Saturdays this month. Five churches came and helped us yesterday. And then we have about 15 other churches that are coming the next three Saturdays to help us with these door hangers to get them out on the street. And we're feeding them, of course, a nice hot meal for their reward, their sacrifice, their labor of love to help us with this. But I talked with two pastors last evening, and they were very excited and noticed the sweet spirit of all the people from the different churches that came together to work for the cause of Christ and starting a little baby church in Medina, Ohio. You know, Baptists, as other churches, we can work together.
Yes.
We can work together.
Yes.
And it's not about our territory or your territory, but it's about working together for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
And it was exciting to see that yesterday. And it's more exciting to see we're going to do that three more times. So appreciate your prayers over that. Someone has also offered to pay and has paid for an ad to go into the paper, a three-quarter page ad, inside the Medina paper. It'll go to everybody in Medina, advertising our Resurrection Sunday service.
Yes.
On this, there's the pictures of the three crosses. The crosses are empty. Empty. And that's what we're going to be preaching about. The empty cross, the empty tomb, Christ arose. The title of the message that Sunday will be Many Infallible Proofs, taken right out of the book of Acts. And that is going to go in the newspaper, the biggest ad that we could get. And we're excited about that. I do want to say thank you again for having my family in, voting us in, the desire to be a part of our work before you even know us. And you even knew my parents. And that wasn't a stumbling block. And so that was a big blessing.
It was
a stepping stone, yes, sir. But I do appreciate your desire and your interest and just the conversations that we've had already this evening. Before I even got into the auditorium, a number of men said that I'm praying for you already. I'm praying for your family. We're excited about the work that God has called you to, and we're excited too. And I am very excited and beginning to get a little bit nervous about the responsibility and the awesomeness that comes with the pastorate. I've never been a pastor before, and I'm just trusting in the Lord to help us through each and every step. The message that I'm going to preach tonight was preached to me through the Word of God as I was trying to figure out what the Lord was doing in my life. He used His Word to confirm in my heart His plan for my life and the city of Medina. And so I might get a little bit excited tonight, but this message was preached to me from Jesus Christ to encourage me, to help me see that He's going to help us in this incredible endeavor. Would you find your place this evening to Matthew chapter 16? Matthew chapter 16. And just in case somebody did not catch my joke, this is my notes and not my mother's. I just want to be very clear. Okay, somebody caught a portion of that? All right, good. Matthew chapter 16, I'd like to read the first 18 verses this evening. I'm going to read them slow, and I'm going to pause at the commas, and just allow the Word of God to sink into our minds this evening and prepare us for the preaching of His Word. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 16, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came. And tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites! Ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up, neither the seven loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to to you concerning bread, but that ye should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The text of the message this evening is found in verse number 18, where the Bible tells us, I will build my church. As the Lord called me to this particular ministry, I had sought counsel. I had this idea of planting a church in Medina, but I knew that there was safety in the multitude of counselors. And so I received counsel from godly men, and they could understand how God would be working in this church plant through Jason Myers. And so I said, okay, well, I believe I have this idea that the Lord wants me to do this. I have gotten counsel from godly men that said that they could see God working through me for this church plant. And I said, Lord, I just want to hear it from you one more time. I don't know how to do this. I'm concerned about it. I want to make the right choice. And I spent time in the Bible searching for God to speak to me to confirm this in my heart. So I don't know how to build a church. I don't know all the things to do. What if I make a mistake? And as I was reading the Bible, Jesus told me, I will build my church. The title of the message tonight is just that. I will build my church. And I thought, and as I sat on my couch, I said, well, if Jesus is going to do it, all I have to do is obey. That's it. And so we will. And we are. Would you pray with me tonight? Lord, speak to you and be good, be encouraged through the preaching of His Word. And God wants to use all of us for His honor and glory. Would you ask Him to do something special in your heart as we gather around God's precious Word tonight? We wait on Him to speak to us. Father, we do thank you so much for desiring to use us sinful people. Lord, it is awesome to be used of you. Lord, pray that you would help us to obey you in the little things. In our little decisions, help us to consult you. Help us to be faithful in that which is least. Pray that you help me preach. Pray that you'd make these words clear. Desire to be a blessing to you. Brag on you a little bit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The tallest man-made structure today is in Abu Dhabi. The building stands 2,715 feet tall. That's over half a mile. And it was built by men. At the peak of construction, there was 20,000 men from over 100 different countries that had their hands mixed in the mortar, that was working with the concrete and the rebar. 20,000 men from over 100 different countries had their hand in building the Burj Khalifa. It's amazing. If we were to stack the rebar from one end to the other end and to stack it again and again, it would reach one quarter of the way around the earth. significant amount of rebar. 975 million tons of concrete went into this building. When you stand at the observation tower of the Burj Khalifa, you will see the curvature of the earth. It's remarkable. 16 stories underground is the foundation. It's remarkable. Men put together for such a building as the Burj Khalifa. Communication is extremely important. Communication is extremely important. Tonight we're going to look at six things. We're going to look at God's resume. We're going to look at God's promises. We're going to look at some of God's previous projects that the Bible records for us that He built. We're going to look at God as the owner, the architect, and the builder of the church. We're going to look at God's materials and God's plan on how He wants it done. Now, each one of these are 6 points, and we're going to touch and go and move along a little quick. So I hope you buckle up, sit back, and pay attention, and enjoy the ride. First thing we're going to look at tonight is God's resume. He is the rock. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 4, the Bible says, He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. That's God. He is the rock. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 13. The Bible says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is God and He is without sin. Very important to remember that. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15, the Bible tells us that He is perfect, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. It's God's resume. He's perfect. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 14, the Bible tells us, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Point number two, God's promises. I will. I will. Genesis chapter 7, verse number 4, the Bible tells us, For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. God says, I will, and He did. Yeah. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 17, the Bible tells us, And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. God says, I will, and He did. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 35, the Bible tells us, And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to all that which is in mine heart and in mine mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. I will, God said, and he did. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes. God said, I will, and He did. Mark chapter 14, verse number 58, the Bible says, We heard Him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, yep. and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Yep. And He did. John chapter 14, verse number 3, the Bible says, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You notice the pattern? I will, I will, I will. And if God says I will, He will. He'll do it. The Bible tells us, where did we go here? Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, And hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promise before the world began. Do you keep your promises like God does? Let's look at some of God's previous projects. Creation. Creation is amazing. I just want to bring up two things. The human eye. Canon, Kodak, Konica, and what's the other big camera company? Nikon. Have tried for years and years and years to duplicate the speed of the lens, the clarity of the image of the human eye. I don't believe they'll ever be able to do that. And that's just a human eye. When it comes to us breathing, God made us, right? God made us out of the dust of the ground, and man has been dirty ever since. That's what the Bible tells us. He's feeling a little convicted back there already. When it comes to our breathing, everything about us is amazing. When we breathe, we create a vacuum. When we inhale, the size of our lungs expand, creating a vacuum. So the air rushes into the lungs. Atmospheric pressure at sea level is 760 millimeters of mercury at sea level. To give you an idea what that equates to, you get your blood pressure taken. They usually pump that up to 200 millimeters of mercury. So just to give you an idea, we're walking around 760 at sea level. It's pretty significant. But when we breathe and inhale, the lungs expand, creating a vacuum, and that air rushes in. 1 millimeter of mercury. Just enough to create a vacuum. And then when we exhale, the lungs get smaller, they increase the pressure of 1 millimeter of mercury, and that air is forced out. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing that God created us this way, and it's even more amazing that people believe that we came another way. The ark. Amazing, amazing structure. God outlined the blueprint. You know, this evening on the History Channel, they're showing a series of Bible films. 2 hours a night. And I saw some of the previews, I think it was last night, on a smartphone of these shows. I was sharing this with my dad at the lunch table. You know, I could see why people would be so attracted because Hollywood makes it look so good. But inside of just the little two-minute trailers of each of the five sessions I saw, lots and lots of lies. Here's one example. Did the ark have any leaks? Watch the film. Wow. Don't watch the film. It's on the trailer. Man. It's leaking like crazy in there. Like, that's not what the Bible says. But look at the ark, 450 feet long. Nothing was ever made like that. I believe they had boats, but not right in the middle of where God told them to build it.
Right.
He's the architect of that. Study the tabernacle. Amazing structure that God made. Incredible details. Our God is a God of details.
Yes, yes.
And details are important. Look at the home. It's amazing how God created the home.
Yes.
With a man and his wife.
Yep.
In the fear of God.
Yes.
The home is under attack tonight.
Yes. Yes,
I believe just through these four little things that we could agree, Jesus is perfectly qualified to build the church. God is the architect, the owner, and the builder of his church. I. That says it for me. When I hear God speak in his word, and I read about the things that God does, I'm not a sports guy, but I get so excited. I could be doing my devotions and do the one-man wave. I get that excited when I hear about the things that God is doing and wants to do in our lives. I don't care. I get excited. God selects the site for where the church is to be built. He fixes it on earth. God drew the plan of how a church should be built. He prepares the materials. He employs the workmen. And he provides the guarantee. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Doesn't matter what kind of guarantee that we find with purchasing windows or our car, they're a lifetime limited warranty, which means this. It's covered under the warranty as long as it doesn't break. That's what it is. We had windows in our house in Medina that had this great warranty, but then a company bought them out and they said, well, we no longer warranty their windows. God gives us a guarantee that gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Someone once said that the church should not be on the defense. Church is supposed to be on the offense.
Yes.
And as my family and I have traveled around to some churches this year, this is not so. Church is on the defense.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. The church is one institution that Christ is building today. The church is the house of God. That's what Bethel means. The house of God. You know, when it came down to the name of the church, I prayed a while. Lord, what would you have this church to be called? The name is very important. Each one of my boys is named specifically for a reason. Noah. We want to raise Noah to be able to stand in an evil day and still love people and still serve God and to be gracious and merciful to those that don't. Caleb, I want to raise, my wife and I want to raise, to believe in God's promises and to go after and claim those things that God has promised him. Ryan, you want to hear that one? It's Stephen in his middle name. A man who's afraid to give God the honor and the glory, to be bold and gracious, not bold and proud or bold and rude, bold and curt, but bold and gracious to share the truth with his generation. And Samuel, chosen priest.
Yes.
Each and every one of them are so important. God's given them to me. Arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Someday I want to be a mighty man. There's the name. What is a church? God's plan says it's to be the house of God. And that's why I chose Bethel. Bethel Baptist Church of Medina will be a house where God can come down and meet with us. That's what I want. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says that the church is the institution in which God should be glorified. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Yep.
The Bible says, the church is God's church. I'm going to say it again. The church is God's church. We've heard lots of people say, my church. And it's not so.
Right.
It's not so. The church belongs to him. The Bible tells us, I will build my, keep your hands off, my,
Amen.
I don't want any of your ideas, my
Amen.
Church.
Amen.
It's not the people's church. It's not the pastor's church.
Right.
It's not the independent, fundamental, King James only church. We are.
Yes.
But it belongs to God.
Amen.
And it's certainly not the state's church.
Amen.
The church belongs to Jesus. Here's where the Lord's preaching to me and reminding me of these things. He says, it's not your pulpit ministry. It's not your music ministry. It's not your nursery. It's not your Sunday school class. It's not your bus ministry. It all belongs to the Lord. A man said once, often a church is built by a man. It's man's plan, his idea, his goals, and ultimately his destruction. I don't want it to be like that. Charles Jefferson was a very well-known mentoring pastor in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And I have a number of quotes here from him. Whenever the church prospers, society improves. Whenever the church languishes, society denigrates. That's a quote from a man. It's not the Bible. But there are lots of Bible verses where this quote could be applied. I will build my church. The church building is a place where we gather, where God does the building. God builds the individual. God builds the individual. Our neighbors, the lost people that we talked about a little bit tonight, that's who God wants to build in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yeah. The foundation upon this rock, Jesus Christ being that foundation, is the where God begins to work. And where God begins in the life of an unbeliever to begin to work when a person gets saved. Once a person gets saved, he gets the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Then God can begin to illuminate the Word of God, and he can understand the preaching of it and begin to grow and understand that what he's being convicted of is sin, and he needs to get rid of that in order for God to bless. God builds the individual. God also builds the brethren. Unity amongst us. We're all different kinds of people. But God wants to build the brethren. For of us all to get along together, to love each other no matter what our moods are, to be there to lift us up, to encourage each other when the other person is down, to strengthen each other with the Word of God, for us to be one big, happy family. The world doesn't have that. And so when the world comes into the church and they come down this aisle, they should see what God wants to do in their lives. Ephesians chapter 2. Would you turn here? We're going to read a couple verses. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse number 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, not Peter. The Bible says Jesus Christ, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. 1 Peter tells us in chapter 2, verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king. This is where I go, woo, one man wave. I get excited about that. Charles Jefferson said, a man proves himself a Christian not by loving men in general, but by loving his brethren in Christ. The world is to be brought to God by Christians loving one another. Church is a brotherhood, a school for training and fellowship, a home for the cultivation of the social virtues and human graces, a society in which men are bound together in sympathy and holy service by a common allegiance to the Son of God. An audience is a crowd. A church is a family. An audience is a gathering. A church is a fellowship. An audience is a collection. A church is an organism. An audience is a heap of stones. A church is a temple. God's plan for the church. He wants to be worshipped His way. You know, I recently have studied the emerging church movement in the world and mysticism. A number of things that people want to do to try to attract people. Well, it's God's church. He wants to be worshipped His way. He's not taking any suggestions. There's no comment box in the back of the church. He wants to be worshipped His way. He wants the music to be the right kind of music. God wants to smell that sweet savor and offering that goes up into heaven. He doesn't want to hear the sound of war.
Right. Amen, brother.
And He wants to use His word.
Yes.
Not somebody else's.
Right. That's good.
God's plan is to reach the lost. God is not willing that any should perish. And His motives and His desires should be ours. To be a Christian means to be like Him. We should take on His appearance. We should take on His actions. His goals and desires should be our goals and desires. And God wants to reach every single lost person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the pillar and ground of truth, is His Word. And we find that today in the King James Bible. He wants to strengthen the believer through the preaching of His word, through the edification of one man encouraging and edifying another, or one woman edifying another woman, through the preaching, through the song service. This is God's plan. He wants to build the home.
Yes.
So important.
Yes.
I was on staff at Broadview Heights Baptist Church for a little more than 3 years. We went there for about 8 or 9 years. And God had us there for many reasons. But the number one reason that God used Broadview Heights Baptist Church in the life of my wife and I was for the purpose of the home. You know, God gave us through the church an excellent foundation of the father's role in the home, of the mother's role of the home, and of the children's role and subjection to the parents' authority in the home, and how to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and how to love them and apply mercy so they begin to understand that God is a God of judgment. There is consequences to sin. But also God says, I will be merciful to you. Hallelujah for that. I'm so thankful that God's been merciful to me time and time and time again. He wants to develop the community. And He wants to enrich the nations. It's God's plan. ...1,320 days it took to build the building in Abu Dhabi. Burj Khalifa. I forget how many millions of man hours it was, but it was significant. But the communication to build this building, had it not been there, would have been similar perhaps to the Tower of Babel. Nothing would have gotten done. You figure you have all those languages. For one person to direct, and the prince directed, he paid for everything, cash from what I understand, to build that massive building, and to be able to effectively communicate what he wanted done, hire the right kind of architects, employ the right kind of people, and to communicate. And then those people had to communicate to the people who actually did the work. And when something didn't go quite according to the blueprints, those people on the ground level had to be able to effectively communicate back up the chain to make sure that everything that was being done was pleasing to the prince. We gave you some of the facts of that building. But as God is building the church, we each have a different role as a member of this great and amazing organization, this organism. And each and every one of us have a very important part. And communication is key for us doing what God wants us to do. And that communication is through prayer. We as individuals need to stay in contact with God so that we can keep our lives right, so that we can be an effective tool in the church. And there's lots of things we can be used for inside the church. Communication is key. Listen to some of these quotes. Samuel Chadwick. Most people don't even know who this man is today. He said this: "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from our prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray." Ian Bounds said, "It is the business of the church to do the praying. It is the business, it is the Lord's business to call and send forth laborers." Acts chapter 7, verse number 49, the Bible says, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build unto me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest?" Isaiah 66, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest?" Two different verses, but it's very important to God. What house are we building for him? Is it his way? Is it his plan? Are we fulfilling his goals and desires through our lives? Psalms chapter 18, verse number 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in him will I trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." We looked at God's resume tonight, God's promises, God's previous projects. God is the owner, the architect, and the builder of the church. We looked at some, well, I skipped over God's materials for a good reason, and God's plan we talked about tonight for the church. And we talked about the importance of communication. And if we do not communicate with God in our own personal lives, it's going to be very difficult, if at all possible, to be able to communicate effectively with other people. And we as church people need to effectively communicate together. We need to understand what the pastor's role is according to the Bible. And we need to understand and to pray for him that he knows how to continue to lead the church and all of the things that need to go on according to how God is leading him. And he can't do it without you. And in fact, we as people can get in the way of doing what God wants to do and how he's leading the leadership here. Communication is so important. And if we're not going to take time and pray about the little decisions that we have to make in life, there's a good chance we're not going to be real serious about the prayer in the bigger decisions in life. We're going to want to turn to other things because that's going to be our habit. Well, we need to get into the habit of making it a matter of prayer about what we name the church, what we name our children, why we name our children, why are we independent, fundamental, King James only. Why we need to make those decisions prayerfully. In the islands of Vanuatu, it used to be called New Hebrides, there's John Patton. How many of you ever heard of him? John Patton is one of my most favorite missionaries. Now, he is in heaven today, but there is many great things. He was definitely a prayer warrior. And still today on the islands of Vanuatu is a well. He tried to witness to some people, and the tribe's people, they were cannibals. And there were people eaten, and he was fortunately not. And he tried to be encouraging them to be vegetarians, you know, so that he'd have a long ministry there on those islands. But he prayerfully asked the Lord, "How can I show that God is real, God is living, and has an interest in these people?" And God told him, "Build a well, dig a well." Now, they're in the islands, 1,500 miles northwest of Australia, to give an idea of where that country is. And there's 100 different islands there, 100 different languages still to today. And the Panero family have a huge influence in that country. But John Patton, he wanted to know, what can I do to show that God is real? God said, "Dig a well." And so John Patton told the islanders there on this particular island that I'm going to dig a well. You're going to understand that God is real. God has an interest in your life and seeing you saved. And God wants to be a blessing to you in practical matters. And of course, on an island in the middle of the ocean, he didn't get a lot of support. But he dug a well. And that well today still provides water to the people on that island.
Amen.
It's amazing. Today, on that same island, Mr. Panero is a missionary. He has a son who works on a couple other islands. But Mr. Panero, in order to get to a certain village, they have to hike for a total of 17 hours, and they break it up in 3 days to get to one village. And it's not uncommon because they don't have email, they don't have satellite phones and that sort of thing. These are still very tribal people to communicate effectively with these people. And so they'll travel for 3 days to try to have an opportunity to witness to them. Now, sometimes those people will not be there. What a bummer, huh?
Yeah.
But they still go. Mr. Panero got dysentery on their last day of the hike. Couldn't keep anything down. He was getting dehydrated. And as this mission team hikes through the jungles of Vanuatu to get up to the higher elevation where the tribal people are, they have to carry their own food. And it's mandatory that each man carries 10 pounds of rice on their back. Mr. Panera couldn't carry that extra weight. And like any man, he could have easily just discarded the rice at the side of the trail and said, forget it. But while he was sick, and while he was weak, he prayed and said, God, I have this burden. What should I do with it? And God said, Mr. Panero, you have 10 pounds of rice. I want you to give it to the next tribesman that you see in the jungle. And he said, okay, that sounds great, but there's never anybody in the jungle until we get to the village. And he told his son, this is what the Lord's going to do. And he said, Dad, you're not feeling too good. This doesn't make any sense. You know, you should just drop it right here. He said, no, I believe this is how the Lord's leading. I'm going to do it. And as soon as he told his son, and his son gave him a little bit of a ribbing, they come around this corner, and up on this rock was this tribesman. And Mr. Panero said, God told me to give you this rice. And the tribesman took that bag of rice and was astonished. He was looking at the rice, looking at the man, and he understood that the man spoke to him and said, God wants you to have this rice. And so they went on and ministered in that village for a week, and as Mr. Panero got feeling better, they began to travel back down through the jungle, and they came across this village where this man was that he gave the rice to. And they are having a party. I don't know what that means, but as he was sharing the story, they're having a little village party. And Mr. Panero said, what's going on in there? He said, oh, there's cause for great celebration. This man that he gave this rice to had a child. And the child was dying. And this man went to every witch doctor on this mountain and asked for healing. And each witch doctor said, you must have rice in order to spare your child's life. And he said, we'll never get rice up here. And the man, as he understood that I've got to get rice, went from town to town and village in desperation to save the life of his child. He said, I need rice. I need rice. Where can I get rice? And when he was all out of hope and all out of options, the man, he stood up on top of the mountain and he said, if you are a God, give me rice so that my child may live.
Amen.
And after he got done saying, he didn't even say amen. Here comes Mr. Panero and says, God told me to give you this rice.
Yeah.
Little decisions we need to pray about. We don't know what God is going to do and how he's going to use it. But each and every one of us know that in our lives, our prayer lives are so weak. There's such a great need to improve our communication with God. We need to allow him to search our hearts, to open our minds to the things that he wants us to do in the little things, the decisions. Where should I work? Where should I go to college? Who should I marry? Should I obey my mom and dad? Should I obey the preaching of the word? Each and every decision is so important. The little ones, the little ones. Those little decisions need to be bathed in prayer. Men, we drop the ball in this. Drop the ball in our prayer lives. But we may pray. We don't pray. Our church is a reflection of that. Men, tonight, will you be bold enough and humble enough to stand on your feet? Lord speaking to you about your prayer life. He wants to do amazing things. But if you know for sure in your life your prayer life could be improved, would you be bold and humble enough to stand? I'm standing. God says, I want to build my church. We need to communicate to Him, and He to us. That comes through prayer. I want to see God work in my town. I want to see people saved. But more important than Medina, I want my four children to see the power of God in my home. I want them to have the faith that when they're sick and that they're weak, that they'll still call upon God and seek His face and desire to do whatever He says in a wicked day that they'll be men in. I want to see the power of God, men, in my home, in God's church, and in the place that God has us. Can we pray together? Seek God's face. Allow Him to work in our lives, Pastor.
I think it's time for us to pray. God, have control of my life and have Your will in my life. Help me to be the right kind of husband. Help me to be the right kind of parent. Help me to be right kind of child of God. Help me to have a heart for souls going to hell. Go ahead and play something, honey. Ladies, right where you're at. You could pray right where you're at, ladies. Ask God to help you be a better soul winner. Be a better wife. Be a better grandparent. Whatever God puts in your heart. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. Trouble is we never draw close to Him. He's calling out, but we very seldom respond to Him. I'll tell you one thing we need to be praying for. Souls to be saved. I haven't seen some souls been saved during the last few weeks. We need to have a burden. Especially us preachers in this church. We need to get a burden to be a leader, to win people to Christ, bring them to Christ. Chair. Ladies, you can be seated. You that are standing, you can be seated. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. all God's people said. Well, it was a great challenge. Preacher, thank you. That was a blessing. Preacher, could you and your wife go?